Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's a great pleasure to be here. My first visit to Prabhupada Village. Such a nice name. And somewhere along the way I saw a Prabhupada Road. Also very nice. Today I shall read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 18. Everyone has been to programs before. We quote. Is anyone new?
Depends on the volume.
Yeah.
All right, well, so if you're lacking some background that I might presume that you have, you can ask any of the devotees for clarification afterwards. So please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Please repeat. Well, to save time, I'll just read the Sanskrit verse, and then we can recite the synonyms for the Sanskrit responsively.
Kiratahunandrapulindapokasha abirashumba yavana kashadaya yanye chapapa yadapashraya shraya shudyantitasmai prabhavishnave namaha. Kiratahunandrapulindapokasha Abira Shumba Yavana Kashadaya Yanye Chapapa Yadapashraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha.
Please repeat. Kirata.
Kirata.
A province of old Bharat. Huna, part of Germany and Russia. Andhra, a province of southern India. Pulinda, the Greeks. Pokasha, another province. Abira, part of old Sindh. Shumba, another province. Yavana, the Turks. Kasha Adaya, the Mongolian province. Yea, even those, anye, others, also papa, addicted to sinful acts, yet whose apashraya ashraya, having taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord, Shudyanti, at once purified, Tasmai, unto him, Prabhavishnave, unto the powerful Vishnu, Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Translation. Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pokasha, Abira, Shumba, Yavana, members of the Kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, due to the Lord's being the supreme power. I beg to offer my obeisances unto him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Now there's a description of these different categories of peoples, and I may abridge some of the descriptions just for the sake of time, but you'll get the basic idea. Kirata. Generally, the Kiratas are known as the aboriginal tribes of India. Huna. The area of East Germany and part of Russia is known as the province of the Hunas. Andhra. A province in southern India, still extant under the same name. Pulinda. It is mentioned in the Mahabharata. This country was conquered by Bhimasen and Sahadev. The Greeks are known as Pulindas. And it is mentioned in the Vana Parva of Mahabharata that the non-Vedic race of this part of the world would rule over the world. The Pulinda province was also one of the provinces of Bharata, and the inhabitants were classified amongst the Kshatriya kings. But later on, due to their giving up the Brahminical culture, they were mentioned as Mlechas, just as those who are not followers of the Islamic culture are called Kafirs, and those who are not followers of the Christian culture are called heathens. Abira. This province was situated on the river Saraswati in Sindh. The modern Sindh province formerly extended on the other side of the Arabian Sea, and all the inhabitants of that province were known as the Abiras. They were under the domination of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and according to the statements of Markandeya, the Mlechas of this part of the world would also rule over Bharat. Later on, this proved to be true, as in the case of the Pulindas. On behalf of the Pulindas, Alexander the Great conquered India, and on behalf of the Abiras, Muhammad Ghori conquered India. These Abiras were also formerly Kshatriyas within the Brahminical culture, but they gave up the connection. Sumbas, the inhabitants of the Kanka province of old Bharat. Yavanas. Yavana was the name of one of the sons of Maharaj Yayati, who was given the part of the world known as Turkey to rule. Therefore, the Turks are Yavanas due to being descendants of Maharaj Yavana. The Yavanas were therefore Kshatriyas, and later on, by giving up the Brahminical culture, they became Mlecha Yavanas. Kasa. The inhabitants of Kasa Desh are mentioned in the Mahabharata. Those who have a stunted growth of hair on the upper lip are generally called Kasas. As such, the Kasa are the Mongolians, the Chinese, and others who are so designated. The above-mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Shiva Shukadeva Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of the world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions because the pure devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda, and in seeing that the valuable life of a human being is not spoiled in following a type of civilization which is ultimately doomed. If the politicians, therefore, would be guided by the good counsel of the devotees, then certainly there would be a great change in the world situation by the purifying propaganda of the devotees, as shown by Lord Chaitanya. As Shukadev Goswami began his prayer by discussing the word Yat Kirtanam, so also Lord Chaitanya recommended that simply by glorifying the Lord's holy name, a tremendous change of heart can take place, by which the complete understanding between the human nations created by politicians can at once be extinguished. And after the extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, back to Godhead, as we have several times discussed in these pages. So, Srila Prabhupada had a disciple who was a Sanskrit scholar named Pradyumna. And when I met Pradyumna some years ago, we were discussing Srila Prabhupada's translations and commentaries in relation to those of other acharyas in the line. And Pradyumna said that one thing that distinguished Srila Prabhupada was that generally the other acharyas would relate the scriptures to the individual, to how the individual could apply the principles of scripture in his own life and purify his existence and ultimately go back to Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada wrote in a way that extended the application beyond the individual to society at large. And those of you who are familiar with Vedic literatures will recognize that within Srila Prabhupada's purports, he was referring indirectly to different verses. And one which came at the end of the section we just read is Chaito Darpano Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. That by Sankirtan, by the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, all the dirty things within the heart can be cleansed, and the blazing fire of material existence extinguished. So Srila Prabhupada was extending the principle that if the leaders of the world introduced Sankirtan, then the hearts of the people in general would be purified, and the fire of misunderstanding would be extinguished. So this fire of misunderstanding is extremely prominent in Kali Yuga. In fact, the present age of Kali, Kali literally means quarrel. And so in Kali Yuga, quarrel is very prominent. Kali is also a person. You could say the personality who is responsible for introducing Kali or quarrel in the world. And yes, Kali is especially present where there's slaughter of animals, taking of intoxicants, and other things that we don't need to mention explicitly in this sacred assembly. But the antidote for the effects of Kali is Sankirtan. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord, or in general, the glorification of the Lord. And so this is a great instruction for us individually and in any unit. I mean, individually, collectively in the broadest sense, but even in different units in between. Families, communities, countries, and so on. Now, another point in the description of these races who are addicted to sinful acts is that many of them were part of Vedic civilization, but because of cutting themselves off from Brahminical culture, they became degraded and they fell from their previous platform. And the converse is also true, that people born in sinful races, if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord, they can be elevated. One person mentioned was Alexander the Great. And Srila Prabhupada told a story about him, which is quite instructive, that when he came to the precincts of India, he found a sage or a yogi in meditation. And he was sitting, you know, with back erect in the blazing heat. And Alexander the Great was very impressed by this demonstration of peacefulness and sense control. So he got down and he approached the yogi, and he said that I'm Alexander the Great, conqueror of the world, and I'm prepared to give you whatever you want. And the yogi replied, I ask only one thing of you. You're standing in the way of the sun. You're blocking the sun. Please step to the side. In other words, that hot sun was part of his austerity, and he didn't want his austerity to be compromised by Alexander the Great blocking the sun. So then Alexander the Great told his secretary to send a message to the troops that were following him, that these people here are very special, so don't mess with them. So, spiritual strength is—it's actually more powerful and more impressive even than great material strength. So now we will continue to read the purport. And we may comment more frequently now. According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnav cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. Now, this point may seem obvious to us who are sitting here today, but Srila Prabhupada had to work very hard and fight very persistently to establish the fact that anyone of any community or from any background could engage in devotional service to Krishna. From the very beginning, when Srila Prabhupada returned to India with some of his American and European disciples, there was opposition. When we first came to Bombay, there was a press conference, and one of the newspapers reported about a devotee named Gopal, who had previously been a construction worker. And now Gopal was a devotee engaged in brahminical activities. So someone wrote into the newspaper that the work of a construction laborer is that of a Shudra. So how can a Shudra be engaged in worshipping the deity and speaking the message of Bhagavad Gita? So Srila Prabhupada formulated a reply. It was a very long reply. It was like a full page in the newspaper, and it was printed, in which he made many points, including that someone is not considered to belong to a particular caste according to his birth, but according to his qualities and activities, and that that although Gopal was a construction worker, but in the West, people believe in the dignity of labor, unlike India. And he also said that the fact that some group of people do not accept Prabhupada's disciples as Brahmins doesn't hamper their work as Brahmins. And he gave the example that someone may be practicing law in a certain province. Now, he may not be recognized as a lawyer in another province, but that doesn't hamper his working as a lawyer where he's recognized. So this went on and on and on throughout. When Srila Prabhupada went to Hyderabad, some Brahmins, caste Brahmins, approached him and said that to Prabhupada, "You're doing the greatest disservice to Hinduism by making these low-born people Brahmins and sannyasis." In in 1971, a small group of us went to Madras, and we were staying at the home of a very Orthodox Hindu family. And the man of the house was saying that you're Vaishnavas, and Vaishnavas are higher than Brahmins, but you're not Brahmins. You have to take another birth in a Brahmin family to be considered Brahmins. So one of the members of our party was Achyutananda Swami. And Achyutananda Swami said to the gentleman, "What is more powerful, sinful reactions or Krishna's holy name?" And he had to admit that Krishna's holy name was more powerful. He said, "Therefore, by chanting Krishna's holy name, one can eradicate the reactions to sinful activities, if we say that the sinful activities were the cause of the lower birth." And the gentleman had to agree. And the same fact is corroborated in the scripture, that in the third canto. So it was a constant struggle for Srila Prabhupada. And he was relentless. And because of his efforts, we're here today, and we're engaged in deity worship and speaking the message of the Bhagavad Gita and so many of the other activities of Krishna consciousness. And sometimes Prabhupada was very humble. I mean, internally, he was always humble. Like once, again in South India, one Brahmin said, "Swamiji, your disciples do not pronounce Sanskrit properly." And Prabhupada said, "Therefore we have come to learn from you." So, all right. According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnav cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. A Vaishnav is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnav, even the Kirata, etc., as mentioned above. So when I read that, does any name come to mind? Does any person come to mind? A Vaishnav is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnav, even the Kirata, etc., as mentioned above. Yes, Srila Prabhupada. At least that's the name that came to my mind. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, it is said by the Lord that there is no bar to becoming a devotee of the Lord. And by becoming a devotee, everyone is eligible to return home back to Godhead. The only qualification, and we should probably take note of this because we all pretty much fall in the categories of the people mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 9:32. The only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord who has thorough knowledge of the transcendental science of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, again, throughout this purport, Srila Prabhupada is really paraphrasing many verses. He thought in terms of verses, but he didn't always refer to them explicitly, but this verse indirectly refers to Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Ramananda Rai, Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyasa, Sudra Kena, it doesn't matter what you are, say Krishna Tattva Veta, say Guru Hai. One who knows the science of Krishna, he can be accepted as Guru. Anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master for the general mass of people and may reclaim them by purification of heart. Now, this is also a very significant point that Srila Prabhupada's making. He's beginning by making the point that a pure devotee can reclaim anyone from any community and elevate the person to the Vaishnav standard. And now he, I guess you could say, goes one step further and says that those who have been elevated by the pure devotee, they can in turn elevate others by the same method. So, anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master for the general mass of people and may reclaim them by purification of heart. Especially through Sankirtan. Which includes name, form, qualities, pastimes, complete glorification of Krishna. Though a person be even the most sinful man, he can at once be purified by systematic contact with a pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, therefore, can accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world without any consideration of caste and creed and promote him by regulative principles to the status of a pure Vaishnava who is transcendental to Brahminical culture. The system of caste or varnashram dharma is no longer regular even amongst the so-called followers of the system. Now there are many people who, it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that in Kali Yuga people will consider themselves Brahmins just because they wear a sacred thread. So, in 1977, Srila Prabhupada's last year with us, some of the political leaders in India, they called a big meeting of Brahmins. And the idea was that they would come for, that there was a bonfire, and they would come forward and take off their sacred threads and put it in the fire to indicate their rejection of the caste system. And when Srila Prabhupada was told about the event, he said, good. They're admitting that they're all Sudras. And it's, yeah, they're wearing that thread had no meaning. So, better take it off. Then Prabhupada says, nor is it now possible to reestablish the institutional function of Varnashram Dharma in the present context of social, political, and economic revolution. Without any reference to the particular custom of a country, one can be accepted to the Vaishnav cult spiritually, and there is no hindrance in the transcendental process. So, this point, the only qualification, does anyone remember what is the only qualification? Huh? Yeah. The only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord who has thorough knowledge of the transcendental science of Krishna. So one time in Bombay, Tamal Krishna Goswami needed to have a hernia operation. And when Srila Prabhupada found out, he wanted to stop the operation because he didn't trust the doctors in India. It may be different now, I'm not, but at that time, he wanted to stop the operation. And in those days, it was very hard to get a telephone. I mean, cell phones were way in the future. But just getting a telephone was difficult. Srila Prabhupada said that in India, to get a telephone, you have to bribe a minister 5,000 rupees. It was like, and if you got one, it was very questionable whether it would work. And if yours worked, it was questionable whether the number you were phoning would work. So, Srila Prabhupada tried to phone the hospital. It was the best hospital in Bombay at the time, Jaslok. But he couldn't get through. And he decided that he would go personally to try to stop the operation. So at that time we had, for a long time we didn't have any motor vehicles, but at that time we had a Jeep in the, I guess the original style with like a canvas covering and no real doors, just flap open. I guess maybe you could snap it closed or something. Prabhupada rode by Jeep all the way from Juhu to central Bombay. But it was too late. The operation had already been performed and they were rolling Tamal Krishna Goswami out of the operation theater or the recovery room. And when he opened his eyes, he saw Srila Prabhupada. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, I was just having a dream about you. And in this dream, you were giving a report to the previous acharyas about how the mission was going on the planet Earth. And you said that the people on planet Earth have no background in spiritual culture. They have no good qualities. Generally, they have no interest in spiritual life. And all in all, they have no scope to take to Krishna consciousness. And then he said, but they do have one qualification. And that is that they have complete faith in me. And whatever I tell them, they will do. And that alone will save them. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami looked to Srila Prabhupada like for confirmation or disconfirmation. Prabhupada, yes, it is true. So that is our qualification, only qualification. It's stated here. The only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord. Now, by the order of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the cult of Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita can be preached all over the world, reclaiming all persons willing to accept the transcendental cult. Such cultural propaganda by the devotees will certainly be accepted by all persons who are reasonable and inquisitive. Without any particular bias for the custom of the country. The Vaishnav never accepts another Vaishnav on the basis of birthright. Just as he never thinks of the deity of the Lord in a temple as an idol. This is another paraphrase of a verse from the Padma Purana. And the idea is, and there's more to it, but the idea is that the deity, everyone knows that the deity is marble. But the deity is more than marble. Ultimately, it's not marble, it's more than marble. So similarly, a devotee may be whatever, Kirata, Hunindra, Pulinda, Pultashah, but he's more than that. And Lord Chaitanya explains that Dikshakale, at the time of initiation, when Krishna accepts a soul surrendered unto him, that person's body changes. Krishna accepts him as good as himself. So it's a very subtle process, and but it's powerful. So the Vaishnav never accepts another Vaishnav on the basis of birthright, just as he never thinks of the deity of the Lord in a temple as an idol. And to remove all doubts in this connection, Srila Shukadeva Goswami has invoked the blessings of the Lord who is all-powerful. Prabhu Vishnave Namaha. As the all-powerful Lord accepts the humble service of his devotee in devotional activities of the archana, you know what is archana? Yes, archana means deity worship. This is archana siddhi dasi.
We'll try to stick to the time. Bacho Vega. So as the all-powerful Lord accepts the humble service of his devotee in devotional activities of the Archana, his form as the worshipable deity in the temple, we're, I understand, working towards that goal of having a worshipable deity installed in the temple here. But as the all-powerful Lord accepts the humble service of his devotee in devotional service, in devotional activities of the Archana, his form as the worshipable deity in the temple. Similarly, the body of a pure Vaishnava changes transcendentally at once when he gives himself up to the service of the Lord and is trained by a qualified Vaishnava. That must be a reference to that verse that I cited when Sanatan Goswami was mortified because he was afflicted with a terrible disease and he was oozing bad smelling liquids from his body, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was forcibly embracing him, and he felt so bad he wanted to give up his body, which felt so terrible. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Dikshakala, at the time of initiation, when his soul surrenders himself to the service of Krishna, Krishna transforms his body and accepts him to be as good as himself. But of course, a Vaishnava will never think like that about himself. That should be understood. Once in Bombay, Yasomati Nandan Prabhu began a question to Srila Prabhupada that when a devotee is perfect, and Prabhupada interrupted him and said that that a devotee never thinks that he's perfect. He said, as soon as you think that you're perfect, you're a rascal. And then he quoted, Guru More Murka Deki Kari Lashashana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that my spiritual master considered me to be a great fool and he chastised me. So Srila Prabhupada said that we should always feel that we are fools before our spiritual master and be ready to be chastised. That makes us perfect. And as soon as we think I'm perfect, it means we're a rascal. This is the abbreviated version. Prabhupada used the word rascal many times in that discussion. Because that's what we need to hear sometimes. The injunction of Vaishnav regulation in this connection runs as follows. Archye Vishnu Shila Dir Guru Shu Naramatir Vaishnave Jati Budhi Sri Vishnur Namni Shabda Samanya Budhi, etc. One should not consider the deity of the Lord as worshipped in the temple to be an idol. In other words, made of stone or wood or whatever. Nor should one consider the authorized spiritual master an ordinary man. Nor should one consider a pure Vaishnav to belong to a particular caste, etc. Padma Purana.
The conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful, can, under any and every circumstance, accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through his bona fide manifestation as the spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya accepted many devotees from communities other than the Varnashramites. Who comes to mind? Haridas Thakur. Yes. Lord Chaitanya accepted many devotees from communities other than the Varnashramites, and he himself declared to teach us that he does not belong to any caste or social order of life, but that he is the eternal servant of the servant of the Lord, who maintains the damsels of Vrindavan. Lord Krishna. Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasangas. Many of you know this verse. That is the way of self-realization. So, real bhakti begins when we are free from the bodily concept of life. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakamshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labhate Para. And that means that we don't identify with the body and we don't see others in terms of the body, but we see everyone as part and parcel of Krishna, eternal servant of Krishna. And we see that everyone has the potential to engage in devotional service to Krishna. And so we want to encourage them. And those who are already engaged, we also want to encourage them. Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudas, be the servant of the servant of the servant. Once there was a temple where there was some conflict among the devotees, and they asked Srila Prabhupada what to do. And Srila Prabhupada said that if everyone thinks that I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, then there will be no more conflict. And sometimes he said that the devotees should engage in common activities, like Sankirtan. But anyway. But the basic idea is that the soul is part and parcel of Krishna and is meant to serve Krishna. That means everyone is meant to serve Krishna. And we are meant to be the servants of the servants of the servants. That means we're meant to be the servants of everyone. Like once Srila Prabhupada gave a talk on the different orders of life. And one, I think it was a newspaper reporter, it might have been a professor, you know, in a sort of cynical way, said, and what are you? I suppose you're like at the top of the whole hierarchy. And Srila Prabhupada looked down and he said, I'm the lowest. I'm the servant of everyone. And it was, he meant it. It wasn't just like a smart answer to, but he actually meant it. And, actually in Vrindavan, when they were first considering making the deity of Srila Prabhupada, he said he wanted his hands to be in this pose, to indicate that he's the servant of everyone. But then,
I guess the only one for kirtan, which is the other side. Jinadapi sunichena kirtaniya sadahari. This is our line. Servant of the servant. Somehow try to encourage others. And when we encourage others, we will feel encouraged. Before I met the devotees, I was studying psychology. And I was told of an experiment performed in a high school where students were told to select another student who they disliked the most. And then for 1 month, they were supposed to be very nice to the person that they hated the most. And after the month was over, the students were asked how they felt about the person who they disliked so much. And they all came to like the person they disliked. Now, ordinarily, we might think, well, if someone's nice to me, I like them. But this showed that if you're nice to someone else, you like them. Of course, if you're nice to them, they might be nice to you too. But the initial action was you're being nice to the other person. And that's dasa dasa anudasa. It's really our constitutional position and the solution to all problems. Or most. So thank you for coming to this talk. What can I say? I mean, I really believe this to be true. If it weren't for Srila Prabhupada, none of us would be here. And we wouldn't be doing what we're able to do now by his efforts and grace. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? There's so many senior devotees here. Yes?
I'm wondering what's going on in Prabhupada's life when he's writing that report. Do you have any idea? Did he write that before coming to America?
No. This is from the second canto. And, of course, he published the first canto before he came. And I believe he was translating this in America. Yes? Well, we're mentioned, but not by name. We're in that category of others addicted to sinful activities. Don't feel left out. You come in that category. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes. What is your name?
Dhruva
Maharaj
Das.
Dhruva Maharaj Das. What is your name?
Roxana Das.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
I wonder, when you read in your book, that The most abominable man can be purified completely by systematically taking shelter of Jiva Guna. That it's not just, you can't just, I mean, like I try to just take shelter, but because I don't have any steadiness, I continue to suffer. So it has to be systematic, correct? It has to, you have to do the process correctly, with no deviation.
Well, you have to want to follow, and you should arrange your life in such a way that's favorable for your following, which means association. I've heard talks about habits, that in the beginning you have to make a conscious, deliberate effort to develop a new habit, and then after a while it becomes a habit, and it's not so hard. And generally in any activities, including developing a new habit, or especially developing a new habit, is you should have people who support you in your effort. And if they're in close physical proximity, that's wonderful. That's a great boon. But even if not, you can still be in communication. One of my friends is His Holiness Ratutvaja Swami.
Oh, yeah, of course. Who's my school teacher?
Well, you have it made. You have it made. So, you know, we like to chant japa together. And somehow after we were together fairly recently in Texas, when I came to California, he started to send me text messages when he was about to begin his japa. And he has a phrase, japa heaven. So he'll send a text message, entering japa heaven. Everyone welcome. And those messages are actually very encouraging. And I might write back a little something, and then you might write back a little something. And yeah, just that message makes me, it reminds me of how important it is to chant attentively. And it also makes me feel connected with him, that he's also making the same effort. And last year, we came to the Sadhu Sangha retreat together. And I don't know whether it was the GPS or the printout or something, but things weren't going according to plan. But somehow, it was like, I don't know how he came up with it, but he gave one of us the nickname Eagle Eye. Maybe I saw something, some sign or something. And maybe gave himself the nickname Homing Pigeon. So this one morning, he sent, I thought it was quite a charming text, that, the first is, japa heaven. Then he said, I've heard that there's an ocean of nectar out here. And I'm looking for that ocean of nectar.
And so then I wrote back, well, you know, if you find it, you know, let me know where it is. So, and then, you know, something like, you know, it's our old team of homing pigeon and eagle eye looking for that ocean of nectar in the holy name. So the point I'm making is about association, encouraging association. If you're together physically, that's wonderful, that's fantastic. But if not, have some sort of support.